Hello everyone, I'm Mariam Saleh and this is the Middle East Today. Now, there are clearly still drastic differences between the opposition groups inside Syria and those outside. Leaders of the National Coordination Body for Democratic Change in Syria, or what is known as the internal opposition, called in a latest conference for a peaceful solution to the crisis, while the Western-backed opposition still insists on its previous stance. No dialogue with the government, but war and more war. Now, UN Arab League envoy Lakhdar Brahimi says the situation is deteriorating in Syria. So will he follow Kofi Annan's steps and resign, or will he see this issue through till the end? And can his efforts meet with the efforts of the Quartet for Syria? Now, to get more on this issue, Syrian Member of Parliament, Mr. Ahmad Shlash, is joining me here in Beirut in the studio. I'm also joined by political analyst Dr. Kamal Wazni, and we will also be joined by Mr. Haytham Al-Sibai. He is member of the Syrian Social Club, joining me from London. Let me welcome you all to this show. Let me start with you, Mr. Shlash. What can you tell us about the latest, and especially about the conference that is being held by the internal, what is known as the internal opposition? Do you look at this as a step forward, perhaps part of the solution to the crisis?
Thank you for having us here in your show. And let me express my condolences about your colleague who was murdered today by the terrorist in the terrorist act which happened at 7 o'clock in the morning in our country. This is what happened in the early morning.
Yes, this is part of the violence that seems to be ongoing.
It's not ongoing. Our military forces have finished most of the places which surround Damascus. And of course, Aleppo is something else. Also, they are finishing all around. But what seems to be that there are some people who are still hiding, and they want to make something in the media. So they attacked the headquarters of the military forces and done this in the morning today to show that they are still there, to show the United Nations, to show the leaders who were attacking Syria yesterday, the ones which said that, one of them said that we would need to have military forces in Syria, and the other who have said about our president that he's a dictator, and the third one also, the French and the American and the Qatari, all of them. We don't believe in them. Never.
Now, this is opposed to other people who are also considered an opposition, but an opposition who is willing to discuss things and debate issues to reach a political solution.
I don't mind the opposition. Each one of us have opposition in his inside.
Yes.
But what I mind is that what they are doing is that they are killing people. Why? If you are opposition and you don't like what you see, you can change it through making a party and going to the elections and doing what you want to do. You understand me? But this is no way to make a country.
Yes.
To make a democracy in a way that they are thinking about. It's not this way.
Yes.
Holding arms against the Syrian army and demanding that they want to change the president. This is no way to handle a country and to lead people. It's not the way.
All right.
And we will not consider, we will not think that our president will leave. Never. By force, nothing will happen.
All right. You're saying by force, nothing will happen. Let me ask Mr. Haytham Al-Sibai. He is a member of the Syrian Social Club, joining us from London. You are also a member of the opposition, but why is it that the internal opposition is calling for a peaceful transition while the Western-backed opposition, those who are based in Istanbul and have their, of course, clear ties with some Arab and Western states, are still calling for war against the government and not willing to go through any kind of dialogue?
Well, let me say, first of all, most of this opposition outside, they are only little pawns in the hands of their masters. Their masters from Saudi Arabia to Qatar, and of course led by United States and Britain. These elements will refuse anything when they've been told by their masters to refuse it. And they will accept anything if they're told to accept it. We know the plan of the Western country, but I mean, helped by the Saudi money and the Qatari money and supply of arms, is to make this government in Syria either kneel or to break down the infrastructure of Syria, and that will lead to for this government to leave. This is a fight on the Syrian leadership hand, and they have to carry it out. The people has demanded a while ago for a swift action and action only to take these elements off the ground who fighting on behalf of those what is so-called opposition outside the country. There is nothing else. The swift action and the fight on the ground, it will decide where this crisis is going to go. Our Syrian Arab army doing well at the moment in Aleppo and others, and we can see the failure of those gunmen. Because of their failure, they have to send some car bombs, some bombs, and carry out atrocities around the country. This is a sleeping cells. They just wake up suddenly to carry out some sort of operation. Mm-hmm. They don't care who they kill or maim. They kill a person who is a pro-government or a person who is standing in the middle or even an opposition person who happens to walk the streets.
Yes. Now, That is for the external opposition. Now, the internal opposition in its latest conference has called for a peaceful transition while also calling for the release of political prisoners, calling on the government to work towards dialogue and a kind of transition in order for there to be political change in the country. Are you with this issue, and how can these issues be brought about?
Well, there is only one thing. This opposition has to voice what they want. They have to go through a political process. They have to set up, I mean, there is parties already. They have to go through a dialogue, negotiation, and it will end in a ballot box. There is nothing else. It will change. I mean, we want a reform in Syria. Every Syrian, if he's a pro or he's a opposition from the inside, we all want some sort of change. We want a reform. Mm-hmm. We want to see Syria as the best country, but not through the barrel of the gun, not through explosions, through a political process, through a dialogue between the Syrians, and through a ballot box. And after, I mean, who win in this ballot box is good luck to him at the end of the day.
All right. Now, Dr. Wozni, do you think that with what we've heard lately in the latest conference, there are issues that are being spoken of for the first time in the Syrian capital, Damascus, the issue of the prisoners, the fact that the Syrian army itself has to also stop its fire. Do you think that the Syrian government can be tolerant to a sort of debate, perhaps an intense debate, with the opposition in order to really create change and reform in the country?
I think my understanding for the president of Syria, he's willing to accommodate what is right, what is good for Syria, and he's willing to extend the hand of people willing to sit at a table and negotiate. But on the other hand, if there's people shooting at the government, this is a military action, has to stop, has to cease before any meaningful dialogue take place. I think we have to distinguish between those people who want to negotiate and to bring a transition to Syria and build a country that prosper and to be a country that every Syrian will see its aspiration happening. And I think President Bashar al-Assad is trying very hard. But on the other camp, you have the opposition backed by foreign interests actually try to sabotage the whole political process in Syria. And I think at this point in time, when you have a head of government yesterday, the president of the Emir of Qatar calling for a military intervention, this will show the intention and the money that is coming from Qatar and from Saudi Arabia and from Turkey and from Western country. this money trickling to into chaos and into disorder in a country that need to be helped to heal itself. I think despite all of that, what we heard from the president of Syria, that he's willing, he's determined, and he's capable to carry this progress. But you have to give him some time, because when you have people shooting and putting bombs and explosion, then I think securities will come first, because you, if you're in charge of these people, you have to provide the, a safe environment for a political process.
Yes, it seems that the military issue is being heard louder than any political words, but do you think that the conference for the internal opposition can have any leverage, although the external opposition says that these people are detached from the people inside Syria and cannot have enough confidence from the people in order to make change?
I think it requires a lot of work from inside, and you have to at one point to see those people outside. They want to be outside and take their orders from the outside, or they want to be back into the country and start building a country that everybody wanted to be. And I know we have a member of parliament, and he knows better about this, but as a political analyst, I look at it, when you have a country that faced this kind of difficulty, especially in the last year and a half or more so, the government have to assert its power and provide the security. The security come first. And this has come not in Syria, any country that faced some hurdle, as it is the case in Syria. But that doesn't mean the president tried to actually build a constitution, put a referendum, had a new election, certain modification for certain laws. But does that need more reform? Well, this is up to the Syrian people, but they have to stop the funding of these terrorist group that they bring in them from everywhere. And this is the message to the United States. Don't bring Al-Qaeda from everywhere around the world and dump them on the Syrian people. The Syrian people deserve a good life, a better life, and not a terrorist organization that you train them, you use them, and now you use them again to be killed. So that those organizations have to be very careful, because they've been used by the American to get rid of them and to fight a war that they have no business in it.
Mr. Schlash, I want to ask you again what you think about the internal opposition, those who are speaking not completely with the Syrian government. They are saying that we need to see change in the country. Do you think that debate can start between the government and these people? And can the government be tolerant?
If they said that they need to see changes, I think they are blind, because a lot of reforms have been done during the past 18 months from the president, and they didn't see it. The constitution, as my friend said, and the elections of the parliament, and so on and so on and so on. All these things they haven't seen. What did they want? In my own opinion, I think now it's not the time for words. It's the time of guns. First, we should bring peace to our country. Before speaking in philosophy and these kind of things and debates with the other parties and the parties which are with the president and these kind of things, I think what the Syrian people needs now is peace, is that they want to feel that their country is safe again. And then if you want to speak about anything else, you will have a lot of ears to hear you.
Don't you
but
think
now, let me please. But now you are seeing the bombing, and you are seeing the terrorist acts, and you are seeing the kidnapping, and you are seeing the raping, and you are seeing every kind of the worst thing. And you are seeing and you are hearing about Turkey, who are preparing another group of terrorists to send them back to our country. And we are going to see, and we are going to hear, and we want to speak about dialogues? I don't think it's the right time for it now.
Especially political.
That we have seen in the United Nations that the same tools that started what's happening in our country are still on the same side. They haven't changed. They haven't changed their mind. They haven't changed their view. They still want to change it by force And this is something they are dreaming about. We stayed for 18 months in this way. And I think if they stay on this side, we will stay not 18 months. We will stay 18 years. And we are willing to pay a lot of blood for our country so that it's not going to be divided. Nobody will rule our country against our will. This is not going to happen.
Yes, no, unfortunately, there's been a lot of destruction and violence in the country.
Well, yes, this is our fate in our country.
You have a lot of countries like Russia, China, and Iran also calling for a political solution. Yeah. Their presence at the
conference.
But
Russia and China and Iran, they are not supporting Syria with money and guns and people. But the other side, they are supporting with jihadin, with Salafiyin, with money, with a lot of money, with billions of dollars, and of course with guns. So this is what's happening in our country. People want to change our country. People want to divide our country into pieces. This is the new Sykes-Picot. They want a new Sykes-Picot in the area. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of open, open area, which is spilling jihadiyin all around to our country, from Jordan, from Iraq, from Turkey, and from Lebanon. Right. So this is the fate of Syria. Yes, there is a lot of buildings are turned down, people are killed, but this is Syria. Syria is very precious. You have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask Mr. Sibai in London. Now, the presence of ambassadors of all of Russia, China, and Iran in the conference for the internal opposition, you think that was quite outstanding. You think that there can be no solution without those sides specifically?
Well, let me say something. The conference, first of all, is the beginning. This opposition, they're going to go for a high ceiling for their demands. But this is not the actual end for this dialogue. So this is always politicians, when they start talking, they put very high ceiling. The reality is completely different. The reality, they have to have a dialogue. As soon as this element or the opposition, they stand and they reject violent, they reject outside intervention in Syria, and they understand everything has to, all the dialogue has to be done under Syrian sovereignty and Islam in Damascus and on the table between Syria. It's fine. Demands start first. But now we have issues. We have issues in Syria. Is security and stability. Mm-hmm. As a Syrian citizen, we are the one who called for a swift action. And now also a swift action with zero tolerance, because the countries outside, the countries like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, United States, Britain, yes, France now also, they are just pushing for the breakdown of Syria, pushing for the break of the Syrian infrastructure. This is all this situation. It's not happened out of nothing. It's happening because of Syria's position in the Middle East. They want to break that position. Syria stands in the Middle East.
Yes.
They are not going to reach that point, because the support, the Syrian government and the support for President Bashar Assad came out of the Syrian people, of the majority of the Syrian people.
Yes.
So the majority of Syrian people, at the end of the day, they want stability and security. Before any parties goes in, they want to go back to the safe streets, safe environment in Syria. This is the main issue at the moment, and they are hoping, and they are pushing their Arab, the Syrian army and the security service to take action, and they have to take action now with zero tolerance. There is no tolerance for any of these groups, whoever they are. if they are Qaeda or they are Syrian being pushed to carry arms or they are elements from outside.
Right, thank you.
Security on the ground is zero tolerance after all these explosions, after all these killings and maimings of people.
All right, thank you. Dr. Wasni, now, do you think that since the conference or the opposition inside is calling for an international resolution, which is based on the six-point plan, do you think that this will give the UN and Arab League envoy more importance and more leverage in order to go on with his mission?
I think at this point, the United Nations, its envoy, hasn't really put a plan, a real plan for the situation. He asked Ban Ki-moon for some time. I think everybody waiting for after the election, the American election, to see what will happen in Syria. I think they will postpone some of the peacemaking process for after the election. I think the Syrian issue become a contentious issue in the American election between the Romney campaign and Obama campaign, and I don't think the current administration wanted to put a lot of pressure on this country. They know, I think, at this point, the Qataris and the Saudis and especially Turkey know they lost this battle. They are biting their hands because they know in 2 months probably will have a different political picture, not because they wanted to, because I think the Syrian government asserted its power and a lot of Syrian people found out that the government is the only institution that can protect its people, and they've been very effective in regaining the trust and the security on the ground. And I think those two elements will help to bring a process in Syria. Mm-hmm. And it would be the beginning of a solution that would be for the best for the Syrian people and for the world.
Yeah, how about Morsi's plan? Do you think that that can find common ground with Lakhdar Brahimi's mission and also with the opposition's, the internal opposition's call for change?
We have to be very careful about assessing his position at this point. We're still not clear on some of the things that he's saying, because he's taken some hard line that does not go with the spirit of dialogue, and I think we have to be wait and see progress. But I think the fact that there is the Iranian, the Egyptian, said very clearly they don't want an outside intervention, but he's some other statement that is not acceptable to a meaningful dialogue. But we have to wait and see and be very cautious. But the main point, Syria asserted itself and put its foot on the ground, and they are strong and capable and determined to carry their duty as a country, and I think this will carry weight in any negotiation to bring an end to this madness and to bring the security and stability to a very dear country, because the Syrian people deserve peace and stability and prosperity.
Yes. Yes. So unfortunately, we're running out of time. Just 30 seconds for you. Do you think that there should be some kind of a political talk or political solution that can be held with countries like Iran, Russia, and China, and other players
trust,
that are also playing a role?
We trust Iran. This is our ally. Russia have been very faithful to us also. Mm-hmm. China also. But we trust nobody else. As for Morsi, I think he have mixed the honey with the poison with his words. Mm-hmm. When he said, we don't want to see any military intervention inside Syria, and at the same time, he's demanding our president to step down. He's a dreamer. When is a new president have come to the presidency, and he started with the external affairs instead of the internal affairs.
Unfortunately, our time has run out for now. Mr. Ahmad Shlash, member of the Syrian Parliament, I want to thank you very much for being with us. I also want to thank Dr. Kamal Wasni, political analyst here in Beirut. And I also want to thank Haitham Al-Sibai. He was joining us from London. Our email is metoday@presstv.com. Stay with Press TV.